prayer, one of the most challenging aspects of our life in Christ, yet it can be one of the most rewarding if we'll understand it better, which we'll help you do next on Truth for Today. Sadly, in most Christian homes, prayer is left to nothing more than a quick thanks for a meal. Realizing that with a proper understanding of prayer and the one we are praying to, we can actually move mountains. Welcome. This is Truth for Today with Pastor Phil Howard from Valley Bible Church in Hercules. We're back in our series on prayer, looking at prayer that moves mountains. And we would invite you to join us today as we focus our attention on the necessity, the need, and the power of prayer. Here's Pastor Phil Howard with today's broadcast from our series called Doing the Impossible Through Prayer.
I was just praying Thursday morning, and I was recounting the year 2016. People died, people moved, people who don't come here, and we've had an attrition and had a tied in, tied out. I was just hearing a lecture that said, if you lead anything long, you'll have the tides in, tides out, plateaus. It's just long-term ministry. You live through it all. And so I was kind of, you know, going on about that. And then the Lord all of a sudden spoke to my heart, said, did you lose me? Wait. He said, did you lose me? I want to know who was here when you rented the hall. I want to know who was here when you landed with a pregnant wife and a two-year-old daughter, and you only knew your sister and Virginia would help you. That's not very many folks to start a church with. And you left a denomination. There was no money. And in 3 months, my brother moved me in because I couldn't pay rent where I was. He said, move in with me. As Tim was telling me, there's a book on the will of God that says, do the moral, right or wrong, but wisdom is you do the best decision possible. Make the best decision. And he said, that's crazy in your regard, because only a guy out of his head would start a church like you did. I said, thank you, Tim. It is crazy. Abraham, leave her. Where do you want me to go? None of your business. Leave. You go where I send you. You go. I think of a Malcolm. Stupid, crazy decision to leave a building trade with his brother in Florida and take a mission job for $100 a month. Was that wise? No. It was faith. And whatever the mission is today is wonderful, and God blessed it. But I tell you, there was a day, there were no salaries, there were no benefits. There was just a man crazy enough to say, God loves people on 2nd and McDonald. Some of you are so close to the vest. I know pastors. They're so close to the vest, they will never take a risk on God. They won't give God a chance to fail. And all their decisions are so guarded, so close to the vest. We've got to have all the money, all the detail. And why aren't you moving? Because you're frozen in unbelief. Do you have God? Is God in charge of what you want to do? Is God in it? If God's in it, listen to me, Joshua, fear not. I am with you. I want you to take the promised land. Moses has died, but I haven't. I want you to take that land. I want you to cross Jordan and get in there. Why aren't we taking our generation? It takes faith, not money, not buildings. It takes God. You got to know him. You got to believe he's got the resources. And all this pygmy faith in our hearts that God keeps saying, I want to do something with you if I can get you to believe me and ask me. So as prayer meetings die, we seem to think God died. No, our asking died. Our believing died, not our God. He's alive and well. He doesn't change. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm no respecter of persons. If I did it for one, I can do it for another. Why don't you ask me? Why don't you come? Turn and don't let unforgiveness ruin your prayer life. I often tell the story that I had got in a miff with Carolyn. My office used to be at the Quinnen House down in Pinole. And I went down there and got on my knees. Oh, Lord, I love you. Pretty soon, it was like the Lord said, I don't want to hear you. Call your wife and apologize. Lord, this is your servant. I'm a man of God. I'm not into apologizing when she's so wrong. And just like he said, I ain't going to hear you. Pray all you want. I'm on my knees. I never forget it. I'm on my knees. Carolyn, yes. I called to apologize because God just told me he doesn't want to hear me. She said, well, I gratefully accept your apology, you jerk. In Jesus' name, amen. I was told, no, she was sweeter. I wasn't. You can be as mean as you want to people, but you can't make God hear your prayers. Tell them off. Tell them off. I won't ever forgive you. Don't ever do me that. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. You're supposed to love your enemies when you're walking with Jesus. You're supposed to be a forgiving people. Why is it we've been forgiven so much and find it a strain to forgive so little? Lord, you're pushing me a little too much. You're asking me to forgive. I don't want anyone around me that I have to forgive. I want them all to have it together. No, they're like you. They're flawed. We're all flawed. Well, this is too convicting. Let's go to John. John 14. Look at verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works I do. That is phenomenal in itself, is it not? Have any of you raised the dead lately? So you'll do the works of that. Well, the only one that got raised from the dead by the apostle was those that went to sleep during the service. So maybe I could resurrect some of you. Eutychus, you remember, they picked him up, probably broke his neck, and Paul goes down and prays for him, and he comes alive. But most of the disciples didn't do any resurrecting. I mean, did anybody ever feed 5,000? No. Well, what do you mean? Greater. And greater works than these will he do because I am going to the Father. Now, what does the verse mean? I don't care if you believe it or not. What does it mean? Read it, do methodical Bible, observe, interpret, apply. First of all, I don't believe that's possible. Jesus slipped. He did not slip. In greater works than these, well, no, that's for the apostles. Wait. Don't strip God of his promises. He was not stuttering. And as that great theologian Bobby Dylan said, God don't make promises he cannot keep. Slow Train Coming album. You need to buy it. He said, if you ask in the name, that's the first thing. Now remember, you can use the name and not be asking in the name. Because there were some guys that said to him in Matthew 7, Lord, Lord. He said, I don't even know you. So you use the name and not even know him. But in the name means in the character, within the nature, in the will of Christ. If you ask things in keeping with my nature, my will, my endorsement, that's number one. And the greater works, what do you say about this? What do you do with a flop and a failure and a washout like Peter, who preaches one sermon and more gets saved in one day than the entire ministry of Christ? Greater works. 3,000 in a day. Jesus only got 120 to the upper room so that we might gather from that only 120 believers. And Peter's preaching. Come on. We wouldn't let Peter be our pastor. He failed. He denied the Lord. Let's run this. Let's read the resume. Well, he just got through 40 days ago denying Christ thrice. Let's vote him in. No. You wouldn't have him as a pastor. You wouldn't have Paul either. Prison background, in jail, causes a riot everywhere he goes. You want him for a pastor? You got to be kidding. Good night. We want a peacemaker, not a riot maker. No, we're so picky, we don't know what we need. And he said, they will do greater works. And if you don't know what they are, read the book of Acts. I mean, this is how Jesus never got out of Palestine. His whole ministry was within 50 miles. And by the time the book of Acts ends, they're already to the city of Rome. These old bumbling fishermen aren't doing too bad. The Holy Spirit energized them. He did get them out of Jerusalem. They're doing greater work. And he's doing greater work. They say there's a Pentecost nearly every day in the world. Over 100,000 people a day worldwide are said to come to Christ. We think just because in liberal, God-forsaken Contra Costa County, as some have called it, where God doesn't seem to be welcome and men don't want God, as it were. You wanted him. God saved you. He can save someone anywhere he wants. But there's a Pentecost all over the globe today. God is saving. And God's causing revival. God's causing people. And Jesus said, I'm going to turn over my ministry on the earth to my people. And guess what? I'm going to go up here and be working for you. While you do the work down here, we'll form a partnership. I'll be asking the Father for you. You be doing the work down here, and we'll get it done. I go to my Father. The work's not stopping. And when you read Acts 1, the things Jesus began to do continued through his church. We're supposed to be operating in the name above every name. What a promise. Then he says, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in keeping with my name, my nature, my will, I will do it. What a promise. What a promise. You know, when I was reminded of this is, some time back, must have been in South Carolina or on a vacation somewhere. I was in another state, and they quit taking my credit card. Quit taking it. And I called the number on the back of the card. Hey, what's going on? I got the money. What's? They said, oh, we weren't sure, Mr. Howard, this card's being used in another state than where you live. We thought maybe fraud was going on. And some of the charges didn't look good. Buying that brand new convertible, we didn't think you're too tight to buy one. So we knew it couldn't be you. And they started going down the charges. I said, oh, no, that's not mine. They said, well, they used your card. And we put a hold on all the charges. I said, good. They're not in my name. And Jesus said, I want to give you a credit card using my name. And it takes two signatures, mine and yours. Anything you ask me in my name, I will endorse and present it to the Father. You know, it's beautiful in the prodigal son story. Three things the father gave the boy when he got home. A new garment, new shoes, and the family ring. In the garment, in the ancient Near East, your status was known by your wardrobe. If you were a slave, they could tell it by what you were wearing. If you were a wealthy man, and the first thing the dad says, get the best robe. Show him he's a family member. The city elders can't be hitting on him. He has status. He's my son. Two, put shoes on him. Slaves go barefooted. Sons get their shoes put on their feet. I want my son not to be treated like a slave. And then he says, give him the family ring back. That would be about like giving him the dad's American Express card. He can now transact family business again. He's just got to put that ring in the wax, and it'll happen in the name of his Father. Jesus has given you his name as the family ring. When you come to heaven, I come in the name of Jesus. I'm coming on behalf of your church. I'm coming on behalf of your will, your name. You can transact business on earth in the name of Jesus. Do whatever he wants you to do, do it in his name. I come in the name of Jesus. Don't you hear David telling Goliath, you come in the name of being a 9-foot-6 giant, in the name of the Philistines that hate Israel. You come in the name of your muscle and your armor. I come to you in the name of my God. May the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob not let this uncircumcised Philistine run over the people of God. Let me tell you, God is greater in me than he that's in the world. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I wish we would get some faith to believe God. Fill this place again. Give us revival. Don't tell me how God died. God hadn't died. You died. You've got all the God you need. Are you knocking? He's saying, Little Richard used to say, who's that knocking at my door? Well, honey, listen to Little Richard. He asks, seek, knock. Are you knocking? Can God hear you? I just told the story to some of our men in our prayer meeting last week. I heard it before I moved up here in Fresno. I went to a preacher's convention in Fresno. And a man was up preaching, and he all of a sudden went in the story. He said a revival swept through some town in the Midwest. And he said, before you know it, families were being saved. This was happening. And he said, this one family, the dad came to faith in Christ, and nobody else in the family were saved. And the dad would go to church all the time, but then all of a sudden he came up missing every morning. And the wife was concerned, where is he going to get up at 5 before the sun ever came up? And she got a hold of her eldest son, and she said, now, I want you to go to bed early tonight, and I want you to track your father in the morning and tell me where he is. I have no idea. And so, sure enough, that boy, the next morning, he could hear the dad in the kitchen, and all of a sudden he left, and this son began to track this dad. And that evening, the mom got the boy aside and says, where'd he go? Where'd he go? She said, Mama, he goes out on the edge of town, and there's a cut-off tree out there, and he kneels in front of the stump, and he prays. She said, well, you keep tracking him. That boy began to track him for weeks. Pretty soon, the wife got saved. Pretty soon, the 5 children got saved. And one night at the table, the wife said, sweetheart, I want to tell you something. We've had your boy tracking you for weeks, and he's told us where you've been going. But we're concerned about one thing. He said every day he heard you say this phrase, but you promised me. But you promised me. She said, we're curious. What did you mean by that? He said, oh, Acts 16:31 said, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. And he said, the verse went on and said, and all your household. And I've been reminding God every day, but you promised me. But you promised me. And then the preacher said, I know it's 2 because I was the elder son. I was the one that tracked him. And God saved my mama. Saved all of us kids just because I had a daddy that meet with God every morning and said, but you promised. But you promised. I close with Ephesians. I must stop. Ephesians 3:20. You claim it. He said, now unto him that's able to do above anything you ask or think, according to the power that's at work in you. I take that to be if the Holy Spirit is filling you, God will give you more than you've ever dreamed he can give. And he can give you more than you could ever ask him for. That's right, amen. You can't think of anything too big for him or too staggering. He told Jeremiah, is anything too hard for the Lord? He told Abraham, when Abraham was staggering at the thought of being the father of a nation at 99 years of age. He told him in Genesis 18, "O Abram, is anything too hard for the God you followed out of Babylon? Is there anything too hard in your life for God to move the mountain?" There's no mountain in your life now that he's not willing to move. He's waiting for you to ask. He's waiting for you to believe. And we're going to see mountains move. I would in 40 days, God would turn valley upside down. And you start telling us about people being saved in your family, people being changed, neighbors. I think we had Susie's son coming for a while. We thought he's going to be saved. Just stop coming all over again. God can make him come again. God can save. God can save. What valley needs is the people who claim it to start going to the throne of grace and saying with Jacob, "I won't let you go till you bless me. I won't let you go." Father, I pray that people will identify the mountains in their life right now. They can maybe write down things that seem impossible. I think of the old song we used to sing. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He can do what no other power can do. Oh, mountain moving God, mountain moving God, mountain moving God, please give us the faith to trust you and believe you and ask you. Don't let us shrink to the size of a dwarf prayer life. Expand our hearts, expand our faith, that we may seize hold of you and see the mountains moved. Oh, Father, we need revival. We need families saved. We need reconciliation. We need healing. We need ministries. We need finances. We need to help the poor. We need to do more reach out. We've got 1,000 various mountains in this church, and only you, Jesus, can move them. Raise up who you want to minister through. Please move the mountains. Move them in our lives, our health, our finances, our joy. Oh, move the mountains, move the mountains. We ask you to do it, and you said you would do it. You made unqualified promises. If you'll ask, if you'll believe, I can move the mountain. Let us, give us mountain-moving faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
And this is Truth for Today, the radio ministry of Valley Bible Church here in Hercules, and our teacher and pastor, Pastor Phil Howard. Thank you for spending time with us today. As always, it is a pleasure and a delight studying God's Word with you, that we might mutually grow in our love and admiration for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you have questions about today's program, maybe you have a question about your own walk or relationship with the Lord, we would love to talk with you. No strings attached. Give us a call, and we'd be more than happy to answer any questions we can or pray with you. Our phone number is 855-833-9864. Again, you can reach us at 855-833-9864. If you would rather write to us, here's our address, 1511 M Sycamore Avenue, Suite 278. We're here in Hercules, the zip code 94547. And again, even if it's a simple thank you for the broadcast, we'd love to hear from you. It's always a delight knowing that these programs are being used by the Lord for your growth in Christ. So again, you can reach us by phone, by mail, or better yet, stop by our website and drop us an email. Let us know you paid us a visit. You can find us at truthfortodayradio.org. That's truthfortodayradio.org. As you stop by, don't forget to drop us an email and take advantage of the many resource materials we have available for your growth in Christ. Again, it's all there at truthfortodayradio.org. And then if you would like to join us here at Valley Bible Church for worship, Sunday services are at 9 and 11, and directions can be found at our website, truthfortodayradio.org, or by calling 855-833-9864. As you contact us, would you also prayerfully consider partnering with us financially? We're able to continue the radio ministry through your generous financial support. And whether it's a one-time gift or a monthly donation, no size is too small or too great. We'd love to hear from you and know that you are partnering with us for the furtherance of the gospel. So contact us today at 855-833-9864 or stop by truthfortodayradio.org. And then come back and join us next time for another broadcast of Truth For Today with Pastor Phil Howard.